So let's start in chapter 8. We start our verse 1 right over, right fast. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at first. God is going to give Daniel his vision. And it was in the third year of Belshazzar. And I saw a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which in the province of Elam, and I saw a vision, and I was by the river of Euphrates. Now, picture Daniel standing there at this river. He's standing there, I think, with his head down towards the ground. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before me, before the river, a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. This ram represents, and these two horns represents, the two kingdoms of Media and the Persia. The Media army was the highest horn. The smallest horn was the Persian army. And it was their kings. And Dejoice was the king of the Media army, and Cyphers was the king of the Persian army. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward. And I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither there was any could deliver out of his hands, but he did according to his will and great authority. So this ram was pushing forward and taking other countries as it went, and it was going in all directions. And as I was considering, behold, a goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. This male goat represents the Grecian army at this time, and the king was King Alexander the Great. He was a great military man. And he was going to come, he's going to come to this realm and defeat this realm and take over. And he came to the realm that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close into the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and spoke the ram, and broke his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground, and stomped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hands. So Alexander the Great and the Grecian army defeated this ram, this goat defeated the ram, and took over all he had. And what's good about this is King Alexander is going to tell us, is going to die, and there's going to be four countries or nations cut and split. His kingdom be split into four kingdoms. Therefore, the goat was very great, and when he was strong, great horns was broken. And it came up, four notable ones, towards the four winds of heaven. That's what I was talking about. There'd be four nations come out of this one. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the pleasant land. And out of these four, there's a man, his name is Antioch, came out. This, and why he is going to go against God. He's a wicked king, leader. and then waxed great, even to the host of the heaven. And he was cast down some of the host and the stars of the ground and stomped up on them. What it's talking about here is this king is going to go in to Judah and Jerusalem. And he's going to go in and to war with them. And then he's going to come back to his country, and then he's going to send some of his soldiers to go back into the sanctuary and stop the offerings in the temple of God. So he's going to go against God. And it says he even reached plumb up into heaven, God, into God's. And he waxed great, even to the host of heaven. It cast down some of the hosts, and the stars of the ground and stomped upon them. And in other words, he persuaded some people to leave God. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuaries was cast down. In other words, he went in to this temple, and he did not allow any more sacrifices for people to bring sacrifices into God's temple. Why did God allow this? Does anyone know? Because of their sins. God allowed him to do this so he could clean it up. That's what I'm taking from it. Does anyone have anything? Yes. So you know, slowly God will punish us. He will. The Bible teaches us if we sin and stuff and you stay in it, God will do something. He will. And most of it is he's trying to bring you back and make you realize, you know, what you're doing and change you. And that's what he's doing to these people, his people.
Their salvation.
Yep. Yeah, he wants to bring their salvation back into them. And that's what, you know, by them being splitting up, it's Antioch. That's what he was pointing, really. God knew what he would do. And God allowed him to do this. You know, and God also said to him, told him, that you cannot kill him. Hands cannot kill him. Why did God say that? God wanted him to die a painful death for what he did. God is going, that's God's punishment upon him. And anybody, I think any one of us would rather die suddenly than we would to die a painful death. And that's what I see the reason that God done it to him. He wouldn't let man kill him. Does anyone have anything? And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgressions. And it cast down the truth to the grounds, and it practiced and prospered. Then I hear one saint speaking, another saint, saying unto this certain saint which spoke, how long shall it be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host of the trodden underfoot? In other words, these two are talking, how long shall it be God allow this where they can't take sacrifices in? And they want to know how long it'll be. And he tells the next verse. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, and then shall the sacrifice be clean. In other words, it'll be this many days before you'll be allowed to take sacrifice in. It has to be clean. God has to clean it. I think that reaches out to almost a little over 6 years by days. Someone has something. You know, Jimmy, it really scares me about our grandkids and the country we live in and the direction it's going. Maybe not me, because, you know, my life, you know, I might not be here tomorrow and stuff. But the younger people and the way this country's going, if something don't change and they come back to God's way, I just couldn't imagine what this country will be. I really can't. I don't care who the leader is. We need someone to bring us back to the foundation that God created and live a life according to His word to the best of our knowledge. Well, we need to be like Daniel. Daniel, when he prayed and he asked for forgiveness, he said, "We have sinned." Not "I have sinned," but "we have sinned" means the people. And, you know, and also included him. You know, and that's what we need to do for our country, is pray for our country. No matter who it is, it don't matter who's leading us, as long as they lead us in the right direction. And it came to pass, when I, even Daniel, I had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. Daniel was trying to figure this out, and this man appears unto him. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Eula, which was called, and said, "Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision." Now, who do you think this man was that told Gabriel to make Daniel understand this vision? God. That's who I think it was. I think God came to him and said, "Daniel, go and explain this to him so he can understand it." So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, "Understand, O son of man, for at this time of the end shall be the vision." So Daniel was standing there, and he fell upon his face, and he said unto him, "O son of man, for this time the end of the vision shall be. The end shall be the vision." In other words, it's not going to be right now. It's going to take time for this to happen. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face towards the ground. But he touched me and set me upward, right, set me upright. Now, Daniel, he was on his face, and Gabriel rested down and lifted him up so he could sit upwards. Let's turn over to Daniel 10:9. "Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then while I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face towards the ground, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me up on my knees and up on the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upward, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling." So he came and he said, "Sit up and listen to the words I'm going to speak unto you. I've come to explain this vision to you." Does anyone have anything? "And he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last ending of the indigestion, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. So he's going to make known whenever this shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the king of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Greece. And the great horn is between his eyes is the first king, which it was the king Alexander. This is talking here to the Grecian army that overthrew the Persian and the Media army. And it was divided into the four countries. Someone have anything? And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressor are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentence shall stand up. This is the Antioch, the king Antioch that come out of the four kingdoms that went against God and over into Jerusalem and Judah and went into the temple and stopped the sacrifices. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hands, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of principles, and he shall be broken without hands. So he's saying that he's going to go, when he went in there, he destroyed some stuff, the people, some of the people and stuff, and he went against God here. And why did he go? You know, he thought he had as much power as God had. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thy up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And then he's telling him, the things that you have seen in the morning and the evening, it's not going to happen now. Just let it go, and it shall be for many days for this to happen. It means that what wasn't going to happen right then, stuff. I was reading it. I don't know. Some people thought it was 120. Some of this happened 125 years later, after Daniel wrote it. I don't know if that to be the truth, but that's what I read some. Does someone have something? And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days afterwards. I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Let's turn over to Daniel 10:8. It tells us, therefore, if I was left alone and saw his great vision, and there remained of no strength in me, for my commonness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Now, he becomes sick when he's seen all this. I think he was sick for something like 20 days. What did I stop at? Oh, verse 27. Yeah, and I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards, I rose up and did the king's business And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Chapter 9. This vision kind of reminds me of what happened to John in the book of Revelations. When John was on the island of Patmos and God gave him the more or less the vision of what, you know, to write the Revelations. And he gives Daniel his vision to write in the book of Daniel. And what I believe my whole heart, what he's teaching us is about our nation that we live in and how we should stick with God's word and put people in charge that is godly people. Now, they're hard to find. They're hard to find one, trust. And I wish we could find one. I really do. You know, he don't have to agree with me, but he should agree with God.
I think things changed a little bit with this election, so even though I'm not sure, well, I am sure we may not have as godly a person as we want, but the decisions, I think, now will be better and towards God, and we wait and see that. Maybe the country's going to change directions. That's what we keep praying for.
Yes, that's what we got to pray for, no matter who's in there. Trust me, I pray for a president. I don't care what letters behind him, whether he's a Democrat or Republican. Just bring us closer to God. You know, will we ever get this country ever get perfect? No. But we sure can improve. We in the stage now, it's going the wrong way. Yes, it is. You know, he quotes. He quotes a lot of Bible verses.
Yeah.
Stuff. Of course, to anybody that's president, they got to be smart. They're smarter than I am. Stuff. I wouldn't want the job. Chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Assalsa of the seeds of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the words of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So in Jeremiah predicted at the desolation of Jerusalem. And someone would like to read Jeremiah 25, 11 and 12. You know, this started out the destruction of Babylon. And that's where it all started. And these countries, or these continents, or kings and stuff, started taking over certain areas of it. You know, it's the same today there. It's the same. They've never changed. You think after all these years and what they have seen and went through, there'd be some changes.
That's one statement made about the Old Testament, all the lessons in the people who say, well, that's way long time ago. It didn't have anything to do with me. Man's not changed.
No.
We still have the same problems we had back with Adam and Eve.
We do. We do. I mean, you can look at Israel and the countries that hate Israel. And why did they hate Israel? They ain't but one reason, because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that was his chosen place, was Israel.
Chosen
God's place. Chosen.
Chosen place and a chosen time.
Yeah. And you know, yeah.
2 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3 says men will wax worse and worse. It's going to go on.
Yes.
Till the Lord comes. We still need to pray for our leaders.
Sure. You know, we just don't pray for ourselves. We pray for everyone. So, well, I guess it's about time to quit. Thank you all.